It's called the Imperial Presidency.
NPR senior news analyst Daniel Shore.
The notion that the president has inherent powers conferred by the people that permit him to issue orders as good as law, or maybe better. We may have just seen the Imperial Presidency at work in the bitter dispute over the permissible limits of pressure on foreign prisoners. Now that several hundred pages of memos have been released, we learn that in February 2002, President Bush asserted in a memo that he believed he had the authority under the Constitution to deny a prisoner the protection of the Geneva Conventions, but that he would decline to exercise that authority at this time. Justice Department official J. Bybee, since then named to the Federal Appeals Court, carried that a step further with a memo in August 2002 stating that torturing prisoners might be legally defensible in some circumstances. The White House has now repudiated that opinion. Where did the president get the power to defy a solemn treaty signed and ratified? Where other presidents have assumed powers not written down in any law or constitution. Presidents before him have done so. Presidents Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman asserted wartime powers to end crippling strikes. Former President Nixon held that when a president broke the law in the interest of national security, it wasn't illegal. President Reagan, who illegally sold missiles to Iran and sent arms to Nicaraguan rebels, noted that President Lincoln acted outside the Constitution when he freed the slaves, when he drafted troops, when he blockaded southern ports. So now the theory is that if in the conduct of the war on terrorism the president has to violate a treaty in order to put the squeeze on prisoners, he has the inherent right to do so. But the administration has now backed away from any idea of introducing tougher interrogation methods. There is another inherent power that the president has to answer to, the power of public opinion. This is Daniel Shore.